Beyond the Mic with Sean Dillon.
We're joined on the Starline by a biologist, writer, and professor at North Carolina State University. He's focused on the biology of daily life. His latest project explores how our cravings for delicious flavors unite us with animals in Taste, the Flavor of Life on Curiosity Stream. We welcome the man working on a wild sourdough, Dr. Rob Dunn.
Thanks so much, Sean. Great to be with you.
Rob, let's go beyond the mic. The ultimate question I and others battle each day, especially with our wives, is what are we going to have for dinner? It's actually an equation, in your opinion, by the body. Quote, the pursuit of deliciousness made us who we are, unquote. Why does the nutritional needs of our body guide us to what we eat?
So if you think about your body's made up of many, many cells, and each of those cells has a chemical composition, and ultimately you have to eat the same things that those cells are made up of if your body's going to keep making cells. And so you have to, in essence, find in nature the match for what your cells and your energy supplies need. And that's a complex thing to do, and so taste and flavor are really our way of coping with that, of being led toward those things that at least historically our cells needed to keep making more of us. And so that's the same system that cats have, dogs have, crows have, even earthworms have, is that taste leads them to that thing, those things that historically they needed, to reconcile that sort of difference between what they find and what they need.
You co-wrote with Monica Sanchez, Delicious, The Evolution of Flavor, and how it made us human. Why did this book need to be written, and why hadn't these books been written before?
Yeah, it's a good question. So Monica's an anthropologist, I'm a biologist. We found that again and again we'd be hanging out with our friends who are other biologists and anthropologists, and that the conversation would constantly come around to flavor and what we know about flavor and the neuroscience of flavor. And yet, this wasn't anywhere out there for people to read. It was kind of this secret knowledge of scientists. And so we started to write the book as a way of sharing this story, this recognition that flavor is this ancient part of being an animal that guided humans for several million years and guides all the species around us, to make that more a part of how we talk about our food. And as we started to write it, it turns out that, you know, this is something chefs are really interested in. Lots of scientists are interested in. And so it just became this really fun way of engaging people. And you ask, why hasn't it been written? I think the reason is that universities are kind of divided in their little silos. And so the chemists work on one thing, the biologists work on another thing, the anthropologists are in a different building. And none of those fields is flavor central. And so, you know, there was no one person to tell it, and so it was something you can only tell by reaching across these disciplines and pulling the pieces together. And so that was really the joy of the book, was pulling those pieces together that hadn't been pulled together.
In Taste, you trace the impact of taste from animals to fine dining. As you did your research, what's the one fact that amazed you about this project?
That's a good question. Well, there are lots, but one is that dolphins don't seem to have any taste receptors at all. And they lost them evolutionarily. And so it then raises the question, when dolphins are looking for food, what is the pleasure they experience? And whatever it is, it's something so foreign to our lives that we don't even quite know how to describe it. So that was one surprising thing. Another is that lots of species, when they're looking for things that are delicious, they'll make mistakes in pursuit of deliciousness. They'll spend too much energy on something that's pleasurable, but they don't need more of it. And so, for example, there are populations of chimpanzees that will work for a year to get to a little bit of honey because to them it's so pleasurable. And it's not enough calories to make a huge difference, but oh man, they like it. And so that was amazing to find out about. And so there are lots of things like that in the book and in the series that somebody knew, but it just wasn't shared with the broader community. So yeah, that was those are two that stood out.
You can see it on Curiosity Stream. The show is Taste, the Flavor of Life. And Dr. Rob Dunn joins us beyond the mic for the Rocking Eight. Rob, all this is 8 random questions answered with the first thing that comes to your mind. There is no pressure. As I graduated under an interdisciplinary program, I know the value of it. But in 20 seconds, how do you explain interdisciplinary studies to somebody who has no idea what it is?
If we look at the world around us, we find challenges that we need to solve. Universities have departments. We need to work across departments to solve those challenges. We need people with different skills to work together to solve those challenges. That requires us to be interdisciplinary.
And that's the reason why you worked with other people on taste. What's your least favorite thing that you like to eat?
My least favorite thing? I think some of the really fermented, long fermented meats are not my favorite. So there's a fermented fish that's eaten in Sweden that you can smell from a long, long way away. And it is, people who like it find it deeply pleasurable, not my favorite.
Are you pro or anti-cicada?
Pro-cicada, very pro-cicada. Thanks for that question.
What's your favorite bug?
There's a bug that lives in termite nests and stuns the termites by farting on them and then eats them.
Yeah. You've had songs written about your work, your research awarded more than $10 million in grants. But what's the one thing that you really want people to know about you?
I hope to bring the joy of discovery to more people, that the world is still mostly unknown, and that together, globally, we can discover things that help us all lead better, healthier lives, and that there's still a lot of opportunity and hope there.
You said, quote, "Science is full of egos and arrogance, but it is fuller of simpler moments of pleasure at the joy of finding some gem of new knowledge, big or small," unquote. What brings you joy?
I think new ideas bring me joy. Being reminded to be patient with the world around me and to pay attention. Yesterday I was on my phone and I was walking, not paying enough attention, and the Canada Goose mama hissed at me and woke me up. And then suddenly there was a baby goose right in front of me, and I looked around, and then there was a hawk near me taking a little bath in a pond. And so to be reminded to pay attention, that brings me joy. And so to have the proverbial mama goose hissing at me, pay attention, be here, be present. The living world is full of wonders. That brings me joy.
You've examined the beauty of the Gulf of St. Lawrence, but where's the one place you go when you need to think?
You know, on a day-to-day basis, I have a walk past a beaver pond that helps me think. I'm thinking about the broader world. You know, I like the Smoky Mountains and some of the old forests there that you can just, that are just spectacular and have lots of personal memories for me. But on a day-to-day basis, there's kind of an urban trail that goes past that beaver pond. And that brings me lots of joy, and it's just a really nice place in my personal landscape.
Who's won more chess matches, Rob, you or your kids?
My son is definitely in the lead. My daughter was in the lead, and now my son is definitely maybe even no longer willing to play with me that often because I've proven incapable.
It's time for two big questions with Dr. Rob Dunn from Taste, the Flavor of Life on Curiosity Stream Beyond the Mic. Rob, what's the biggest challenge you have faced during your work on this project?
The biggest challenge is that this is a big story, and how do you fit it into a two-part series? Like, what do you leave out? What do you leave out is always a challenge, and in book writing and documentary production. That's the filmmaker Anna Maria Tallis' challenge more than mine, but it definitely is there.
So, Rob, what do you want people to get from your work?
To be reminded that we are biological beings influenced by the biology of our mouths, our noses, our taste, and in that we are like all the other biological beings around us. We're part of a bigger story of flavor and evolution and history.
Dr. Rob Dunn loves new ideas, won't eat fermented meats, and wants you to watch Taste, the Flavor of Life on Curiosity Stream. Rob, thanks for taking the time to talk with us today.
Thank you so much, Sean.
And that, my friends, is a Beyond the Mic Shortcut. If you're enjoying these conversations, please check out another Beyond the Mic episode to find more actors, artists, and people you need to know. We'd also appreciate a like and subscribe on the Good Pods app.